work out. We've never had this guy speak before. The music, I mean, we're just pulling this thing together. And I didn't know what to expect. I always feel like I don't have my stuff together until last minute. Usually VBSs, it's the whole church that pulls those things off. So I was just discouraged in different fronts. Well, then we had, you know, like one of our gals had an emergency surgery and it got infected. She couldn't come. Had another couple had personal situations that had to back out. Another one backed out. Sunday night, we're all fired up, ready to roll, and she says, "I just don't want to go." I mean, I was just like, "Dear God," I'm like, you know, just discouraged, and I'm like, "I can't let this." Well, then the morning of, we got poor Sarah Shimon. She gets sick, and it's just, I'm like, "God, I don't know what's going on," but we're off to a rough start. And I've come to the conclusion that sometimes when you're off to those kinds of starts is when God really shows up. And so I guess what I want to say is this: God went above and beyond our expectations this week at camp. Guys, we couldn't repeat what happened this last week if we tried to. I'm just telling you, from the music, that very first night that we all got together, the students were singing loud. It's usually by night three or four that you finally get the students singing, but that was just incredible. It was beautiful how God pulled that off. And Terry and then our two other instrument, I mean, our lead speaker was the main guy leading singing also, so it just took a toll on him. But between him, our keyboardist that we had come from Kansas City, and then Terry, they gelled so well together. You'd have guessed that they'd been playing together for a long time. It was just so sweet to see. But even more important than that, the praise was powerful. The praise was, I mean, the students were singing, God got the glory, and it was alive. It's like, God, shame on me for my little faith. I didn't think it would be this lively. So that was so awesome. The speaking, the preaching, I think every student would attest that went beyond their expectations, how God used that and what God did in their hearts. Even our speaker, Blade, I introduced him to you guys last Sunday through a little video, but I was just so impressed with how God used him, not just to speak and to lead music, but he just jumped right in. You've seen some of the pictures. I mean, he could have been in his room studying all day for not just camp speakings, but stuff he's got to do even outside of camp. And yet, he loved on you guys during the games, during the activities. He wasn't afraid. And I just really appreciated that. So very thankful for what God did. And mostly I'm thankful for decisions that were made. There were some awesome decisions that you guys are going to hear about here in a moment. But to say that God answered prayers would just be an understatement. God majorly moved, majorly answered prayers. We had two church youth groups. It was our youth group and then Heartland Baptist Fellowship from Harrisonville. They joined us as well like they did last year. And guys, it was just sweet to see both groups loosened up immediately. I think it helped to have last year's camps together as well. But like I said, they sang out loud the very first night. And speaking of that first night, so Terry Hodges and me, we got to stay in a room that was just below all the guys. Jason Cook had the guys from our group in the dorm, and Terry's about to lose it. He's like, "Will they just knock it off?" I mean, it was what, 1 a.m, and they're still jumping off their bunk beds, and it just sounds like a crazy storm going on. But anyways, that first night, I wasn't sure how camp was going to go because I hear something so loud. It's about 4:30 in the morning. I wake up. It is ridiculously loud. It's pitch black in our room. None of our rooms had windows. So you girls thought you had windows, but it was really just curtains covering it, a brick wall. But so I'm like, what is going on? It sounded like just super loud rain coming down. But I'm like, that can't be rain because there's guys above us. So what is this? I sit up in bed. Terry's just down snoozing away, and that's the nice way to put it. And as he's sleeping, I turn on my light, my flashlight. All of a sudden, I shine in a certain direction in our little room. All of a sudden, it stops. And I'm like, what's going on here? So I just go back to bed, lay back down. I mean, just loud, crazy noise. I'm like, that sounds like an amplified potato chip bag is what that sounds like. So I sit back up, turn my light on. I can't see anything. All of a sudden, it's dead quiet. I'm like, is Terry down there eating chips? What's going on, Terry? Well, I lay back down again because I'm dead tired, and it does it again. I'm just like, what in the world? So I finally get up, and I'm getting down. I'm like moving stuff. Terry wakes up. He's like, dude, what's going on? I said, Terry, there is something in here under this chair. Do you hear that? And I don't know if you heard it or not because you were sleeping. But finally, we turned the main lights on, and I'm just like, it's got to be a big mouse or something. It's loud. And I just pushed this chair. Terry, would you have your flip-flop? He had his Nike. He's getting ready to whack something. Next thing you know, this little Speedy Gonzales mouse, it just comes right. It comes right out. We couldn't have caught it if we tried. And that's how our first night of camp started. And I'm like, we're going to have a friend all week, man. We're going to win this little mouse to Christ. But thank God, I don't think that showed up the rest of the week for. It was crazy. It was like a bullet, man. This thing just flew right out of there. So needless to say, I think the students got less sleep than we did. But they can talk about that here in a moment. Guys, the camp staff, I just have to take a second to share. Maybe it's because the last couple years, it's not that the camp staff has been like really rough, but boy, this camp staff was probably the sweetest spirited group of people I've ever seen that served for camp. The food was incredible. I mean, everything about it, I just makes me want to support them and just be like, guys, we want to get behind what you're doing because they're like angels. And in fact, you can't have camp without just a crazy incident taking place. We had a few of those, but besides the weaving and the car rides and half the students getting sick, that was a reality because it was just such rough roads out in the Ozarks in the middle of nowhere. We did have an incident Wednesday morning during activities, and we'll let her share what she wants to share in a second. But I just want to say, with this incident that took place, poor Lindsay, man, she's on the ground. Blade comes up to me, goes, "Hey, man, Lindsay's injured." I look over, and Carrie's just like, you know, no, because 2 years ago, this is a repeat of what took place, very similar. And we're just like, we can't have this again. And next thing I look, Ray Blowers and like all the students are just in a circle praying. And a few of us are over Lindsay. And, you know, Nikki's doing her thing, smell the roses, smell the roses. And it's working. And well, then one of the camp staff, this guy was like an angel of the Lord. I'm just telling you. God knew that this volunteer camp staff worker who happened to specialize in knees, joints, and bones was right there for Lindsay Bratcher. So you know what he did? In the midst of all the chaos while people were praying, he comes up and he just says, "Hey, I can slip that patella right back in place. I've done this before. I've seen it." He knew from when he heard that scream exactly what it was. And so, guys, God was good. That thing slipped right back in place. And Lindsay's got some inflammation and stuff still, which is why, you know, she's got the brace on and some crutches to help her move around. But God delivered there. And just want you to know that it sucks that happened. It could have been so much worse. And I think Lindsay would attest that God really used the situation to minister to her heart because, I mean, come on. How many of not just our group, but even the Harrisonville group did you get to connect with on a heart level just because of what happened? So I'll let you share here in a little bit. Lindsay's going to get baptized today, and so she gets to share. So, I mean, it was just neat seeing the Lord's hand even over the trials that took place. And so, but I was very proud of our students this last week and just really seeing their maturity. You know, if you think that we got an immature youth group, maybe after today you'll think differently. And it was really neat because every morning the Harrisonville counselors and then our counselors would always make it a priority to sit for an hour and just talk about what God's doing. We'd share the word with each other and just say, okay, what are you seeing Jesus do with the students? What's he doing in your heart? And that was probably some of my most enjoyable times was just having that fellowship with them because Harrisonville, they're like family to us, right? They come up every November. We come there in April. But I loved hearing them say things like, guys, can we just tell you how thankful we are for your students? And they would tell us about how our students are ministering to their students, pulling them aside one-on-one and answering questions about, you know, well, here's what a relationship with Christ looks like. Here's some things in my life that I, They're like, we've never seen that happen before, and we're so thankful. So I just was proud of you guys. Many different of you were doing that and investing in their youth, and they were thankful for that. And so my heart was rejoicing when free time would take place, and instead of going to the basketball courts or, I mean, there's so many things they could have been doing, I'd see a group of our girls with their notebooks out just saying, hey, this is something God's been showing me. They're sharing with each other, and then they're including some of the younger girls. I'm just like, that's a win. I mean, and I'm not saying that the others were in sin for not doing that, but I just thought that was really cool to see many of them just excited about what God was doing, the spiritual. And so four of our students gave devotions at camp. That's something I was challenged to do back in, I don't know, 94, I think it was 1994 when I was in high school. And my youth pastor challenged me and several other students to give a devotion in front of everybody. And that stretched me in a way that I'm very thankful for. And so Logan Bratcher, Josie Blake, Becca Green, and Zach Fridley all gave devotions at different times throughout the week. And I think that was really good, not just for them, but for the rest of the students to see that it's not just adults that know how to walk with the Lord. It's these students as well. And so that was really encouraging to see that. And I thought they did a great job laying out the word. And it was just, it flowed very smooth. The timing of it all was beautiful. We had a seventh grader from HBF. She shared a powerful testimony. It was Ray Blauer's daughter, little Juju. And she comes up and she shared a testimony because she met Christ earlier this year. And God used her story. God used her testimony for one of ours to get saved. And so in a moment, we'll talk about that. But God did just some amazing, amazing things. And so, all right, you ready for this? We had three salvations from HBF. And that in of itself was just beautiful to see what God was doing, how he worked that out, just the intense battles that took place throughout the week with these three particular students. And then there's three MCBC students also that were saved. When I say God did something beyond my anticipation and expectations, I mean it. I'm just like, God, I wasn't expecting you to move this way. Shame on me, man. But people were praying. Seeds have been planted. And so can I just ask this before our students come up and speak? If you received Jesus Christ this week, you got to hold your hand up high. Hold that hand up. Students who received Christ, yes. See these three hands right here? Woo! Yeah. Yes, amen. Guys, listen. This was the Holy Spirit of God stirring in these hearts. The first one was Maddie, and I believe it was on, was it Wednesday or Thursday? Wednesday? Yeah, it was Wednesday. She was the first one just to be like, you know what? I know I've prayed a prayer in the past, but I don't think I'm saved. I don't think I know. And it was just so cool because nobody told her to say this or to do this. She's acting on what she's been hearing. From day one, the very first night we all got together, Blade didn't hold back. He's like, first question that you guys need to ask at your tables, are you saved? Do you know Christ? You got to start there. How are you going to be bold if you don't know Jesus Christ? And so it's just beautiful because the first step to being bold is getting saved, making that decision to say, Lord, I'm going to fall back in your arms. I'm going to trust in you with my heart and make you my Lord and Savior. And so Maddie did that, and that was just beautiful. Everybody was rejoicing at camp. And I was expecting right away to see maybe some more salvations that night, but God thought differently. He still wasn't finished planting some seeds. And the next salvation that took place amongst our group, this was really beautiful because you know how when a baby's born, there's a gestation period of several months, you know, about 9 months that takes place? Well, I think it's very similar spiritually as well, right? The seed, the word of God is implanted, and then there's just a cycle that takes place. And a lot of times that's a very dangerous time for that newborn baby. A lot of times there's babies that don't make it in real life. And that's the same thing spiritually. Well, this next salvation, you could clearly see this baby developing inside of this womb. Because I remember last year at camp, we were praying heavily for Halene and just saying, God, do a work in her heart. And that baby wasn't ready to be born yet. But guess what? Come Thursday, it wasn't even Thursday night. It was Thursday in the daytime. This was such a beautiful experience that she pulls Carrie in and, gosh, you guys were probably in the room for 2.5 hours. And it, All I can say is this, is it was emotional, it was beautiful, God moved mightily, and it was a spiritual warfare, and God's the victor. And so, Halleen, we were so, so thankful to see Jesus do a work in your heart this week, and very proud that that you got to come and just let him take the wheel. And then the third one was the big night. The rest of the salvations, we're not one just to say, okay, Thursday night's the invitation night. That way we can get all the students and their emotions and manipulate them into getting saved. That wasn't the goal. But what happened was it just turned into what the way the message was. It was one more night. We could see there's several students where there's that internal battle taking place. Many of them had admitted that they're far from Jesus and that they know they need to become born again, and it hadn't happened yet. And so there was an invitation made after the Thursday night message. It was just a powerful night overall. And again, that's where the floodgates opened up. And that's where we've seen Aiden and then several other students come to Christ. Other decisions were made, but what's beautiful about Aiden is I just love it because I heard even throughout the week that, like, Aiden's talking to, you know, Jason and Terry. Well, and they're just like, hey, Aiden, I mean, this is your decision, dude. We're not going to make it for you. And I love it because that's the way it's supposed to be. Jesus stirred in your heart, and you called upon him, and he answered. Well, then Aiden's talking to Zach, and Zach's even sharing, yeah, here's when I met Christ. And you were asking Zach questions. God was at work. And so Thursday night, we've seen Aiden become a new creature in Christ. And that in and of itself was just overjoying to see you three in this room and then to see the changed lives at HBF. So I think that deserves another hand. God's Spirit was at work. And so I'm going to shut up for a moment, and I'm going to let, we got a few students who are just going to take a moment. They're going to share, because there was other decisions that were made too at camp, and there was other encouragements, and I just gave you just a brief glimpse. So I asked a few, I said, if you feel like God's leading your heart to say something, what he did in your heart this week, you got to share it with the church, because the theme was bold. So you got to be bold. So Logan, why don't you kick it off? Come on up here, take a moment, and share what God laid on your heart.
Before I start it off, I'd like to thank all the counselors out there for taking time to mentor us, build relationships with us, just being there for us if we're going through, you know, the good, the highs and the lows. Even for HBF, too, to be able to connect with us, even though we don't really see each other a whole lot, to still try to build relationships with us. And then even Blade, too, he was such a great mentor, I feel like, just because I feel like he was able to connect us with us better than any other, I don't know, former, like, speaker at a camp, just because I feel like he was, like, just, like, closer to age with us, so he knew, like, the stuff that we kind of go through nowadays, whether that's, like, with school or with relationships or whatever it is. And Tuesday night, I'd say it was probably the one where it spoke to me the most. As I head into college and new experiences or relationships, I need to be out there and use the tools that God gave me to build bridges with people that don't know Christ, to be able to connect with people that I have interest with, because God gave me stuff like sports that I could like to connect with people. So basically try to, like, I don't know, just connect with anybody through, like, any personal stuff or whatnot. So yeah, just go out there and just build bridges. So thank you.
And this is Logan's last, tonight's actually his last youth group, which is going to be sad, but it's a new chapter of his life. And so I just like that he was open for what God had for him. And he knows that, Lord, no matter what happens in life, it doesn't matter what all my friends do, I'm pleasing you. And so I'm going to follow you. So I know your heart was open, and it's not over for you, man. It's a beginning.
Okay, so if I could describe camp in one word, it would be, like, refreshing. It was just absolutely wonderful, everything. Like, we normally have some sort of drama that goes on. Absolutely none this year, which is amazing. My group of high school girls, we've gotten close over the past year, but our discussions were just great. We were away from distractions, and we got in God's word multiple times a day, and it was just refreshing. So, Blade's first message and my devotion that I gave kind of went together, and the whole like theme was to have boldness, you must remain in proximity to God. And then I put it in words, you have to be bold in Christ before you're bold for Christ. And so his message on Wednesday evening was on the spirit of fear. And confidence and boldness, I've somewhat struggled with my whole life, but specifically for Jesus, because I've always tended to be a people pleaser, and I fear what others will think of me. So in Blade's message on fear, he had some absolutely amazing points that spoke to me, convicted me, and challenged me. There was like four main ones that really just were amazing. So the first one was, will we choose to fear God or man? And then we are either a prisoner to fear or to faith. And then what will you choose? And he gave the verses Philippians 1:14 and 2 Timothy 1:8. And I made it a goal. I'm going to try to memorize those verses just because they were so great. And then success in God's eyes is to be willing. So I feel like God's been working in me. Last church camp, I was asked to give my testimony, and that was a big step for me. This school year, I was involved in FCA, and I had to give multiple messages. Even if it was just a few students, that's still really like a big step. And then I gave my devotion at camp, and now even being up here is a really big step for me. I remember my first church camp, I was asked to pray in front of everybody. I was absolutely petrified, but I was also like furious at whoever asked me. I was like, oh gosh. So the fact that a couple years ago I told God, like, I'm willing to do whatever he wants. So just being willing was like a huge step for me. So God's been working me through my fears, and Blade's messages, all of them were just wonderful. I couldn't just choose one, but I ended up having to because of time. So a few people kept asking me, like, they're always like, oh yeah, did you make a big decision at camp? I kept saying like, oh, camp was super encouraging, but I didn't really make any decisions because I'm saved and like baptized and I did youth discipleship. But I was completely wrong. I just decided to continue to strengthen my walk with Christ. I decided to continue having boldness, and that's just what God told me to do. And so that's a big decision in of itself, even if it seems small. So I'm continuing my growth in boldness, and I feel called to invest in some of the younger youth too. So that's what God did for me through camp.
I'm excited that Josie is at Monmouth Roseville High School. I mean, we got her for another year to help lead FCA. She mentioned FCA, and I'm just like, you know, Logan's moving on, and Josie and Logan have been kind of the leaders there, and man, people don't realize. I'm like, Josie, your dad's got a gift of speaking, but do you not realize you got one also? Praise the Lord for that. So use that, be bold with it, and everything you said, we can't amen enough. Right?
Okay, so the theme of our camp this year was about being bold for God, and I feel like for me personally, I've always kind of struggled with that. And one of the nights, someone talked about just like simply raising your hand like during praise, and I feel like that sounds so easy, but for me, it's pretty hard because I care too much what the person next to me is thinking. And that's kind of the same with sharing the gospel. And doing these things takes boldness, but something our camp speaker said this year was when someone rejects the gospel from you, they aren't rejecting you, but they're rejecting God. I learned that I need to take these steps of faith in God to get closer to him.
Amen. Yeah, thank you. What I love about that is it took boldness for Mariah to pop right up here, and I'm so proud of you, Mariah, for being obedient to the Lord. It was the Holy Spirit that told her to get up here and speak, not me. So I just love that, and I love the point you made that Blade preached on with they're not really rejecting you, they're rejecting the Lord. In a sense, that gives you a little bit of liberty to say, okay, you know, it really don't matter. I'm just being obedient to God. So that was awesome. Who's next? I think we had Becca. You're up. Yeah, it's all right.
You are now. Okay, so, I was asked with the other youth to do a devotion before, and the devotion for me kind of like based what camp was going to be on for me, and it was in Romans 8, 37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And that's just like a verse that I think is good for all Christians to memorize and stuff, because it's good to remember that we're conquerors through God. And so I'm just going to go through every night, but just like one point, so it doesn't take forever. And I'm going to go through and just say different verses that really pointed out to me relating to that. So on Monday night, we arrived, and we honestly, like my dad said, we didn't know how it was going to go. It was like 100 degrees, and the bunks were interesting. Like, it was kind of scary, but on Monday night, it just was a really good message to start off. Like, I don't think we've ever had a camp that just starts off, like, really good. Like, just really, you can feel God moving in the first night, because it normally takes people, like, the whole week to open up. But the first night, like, people were singing loud, and Blade was just, like, he wasn't holding back at all. So he said to retain a right perspective of God the Father, and that really spoke to me, because a lot of times I think of God like maybe like a human. Like, I can ask him for stuff, and he might give it, and he might bless me in different ways, but I don't think of it like he can literally do anything, like things I can't even think of. Like, he created the universe, and I'm just asking him to help me on a test or something. Like, he can do so much more. And I think that's just something to remember, is, like, God can do so much more than what you can ask of him. And never to hold back, because whenever you're holding back, you're, like, holding yourself back, too. God can literally answer any prayer. And then what he said also is to recognize God as the conqueror. Because it's not us. Yes, the verse says we are conquerors through him, but God is the overall conqueror. Like, we're being sent out to do the mission, but God is sitting there in the background conquering the souls for us. And like I said, that's the God of the universe. He's behind us conquering everybody. Like, he made the universe, and he's there right by our side. And also, whenever we stick with God, he's going to be the one who changes people. So not all the pressure is on you. And I think that was another thing. That was another big thing that stuck with me, is knowing that not all the pressure is on me necessarily. Because whenever you read the verses like Acts 1:8, it's like saying to go everywhere, going to Judea and stuff. And like, that's a lot of pressure for Christians. And I think it's just good to know that the pressure is on the people that you're sharing it to. And God doesn't want you to feel that pressure. Like, it's not your pressure to feel. You're just out there sharing the word. So I learned quite a bit of stuff, and I'm happy to put it into action, because I'll be able to go on a trip soon. And I think this was all really great for that, and I'll be able to put it into action. So.
Amen. That's some good stuff. Good stuff there, man. And then Zach, you're the final.
So, a few months before camp, Bo sent us a text and asked us to do a devotion on boldness. And for me, I was hesitant at first. I was scared of public speaking, and I realized, you know, the camp's about boldness, so I need to act on that. And for me, last camp, it was battle. And I came out of that camp thinking, I have God, I read my Bible, that's all I need to lead people to Christ. And really, it's not. We need a church behind us and people beside us just able to help us lift us up. So my devotion, I based it about the end times and how we need to be bold now, because the world is just getting louder and more evil, and so we need to be the light to shine through that darkness. And so when I was speaking, I felt like God was just speaking through me, because I had things that I was saying that weren't even on my paper. So, yeah. And so after that, I had to thank God, because after last camp, my focus was kind of shifted from God to being about me. Like, I get the recognition. And like the second song says, man's empty praise. And that's not going to fill us up as a Christian. It's going to be you know, giving God the credit for speaking through us. So after I was done with the devotion, we were heading back to the cabins because we were out at a bonfire. And one of the HBF kids I was talking to, we just sat down. He, you know, said he wasn't sure if he was saved or something. So I was able to help him nail down his salvation that night. And it was really sweet for me because a year ago, I was put in that spot. I was questioning my faith as a Christian, and I was just able to nail down my salvation. And so throughout this camp, I learned a lot. But the one thing that really stuck out to me is, you know, we can't do this journey on. Like I said, we have to have a church behind us and beside us just to be able to lift us up. And on Thursday night, it was the last night, you know, it was kind of like an altar call. And I knew, you know, I had something on my mind, so I went back and I told Terry what was on my mind. And I said, I told him this last year from last camp, God had, like, you know, he gave me so much to use and he gave me a church, and I just felt like I did nothing with that. I made so many mistakes. But the thing about that is God doesn't see your mistakes. Because you're saved, he sees Jesus Christ in you. And so, yeah, he just told me, you know, it's in our human nature, we're going to make mistakes. So it just allowed me to take a step back and look at what God has given me. He's given me a church, he's given me a youth group and people just to help me along with my walk. And, you know, he's also given me values as a Christian that I can use to lead other people to Christ. Like, I'm a pretty friendly guy, I can make friends, and I'll just be use that for Christ. And so I guess to wrap this camp up is we need to be bold, because if you're not bold, you're going to fear. And if you're fearing, you're going to be battling with that fear, and you're not going to be able to lead people to Christ. So we still have time on this earth to do what God needs us to do. And so stay bold, stay close to God, and stay close to your church, because that's how we're going to finish out our mission on this earth. So that's all I have.
Awesome. Thanks, man. All you guys who shared, thank you so much. I'm really, really thankful for you. And just watching you this last week, really this last year in our youth group, God is using you. I really want to take a moment right now and just say thanks to Jason, Nikki, Carrie. I mean, guys, these three, they're faithful. They're faithful every Sunday night, investing in these youth and then coming to camp and taking off work. And there's sacrifice involved. And I just want you guys to know that your investments are paying off. And just the fact that you're faithfully loving on our students, because that's where it's at. I mean, we love God first, but then we love people. I've seen youth ministers and youth workers, they don't even love the students. And I'm just like, why are you doing it then? It's just sad. There's some out there that just because there's a position that needs filled, you guys truly love the sheep. And so I'm very thankful for you guys and for your efforts. And how awesome is it to see your daughter come to camp, man, and meet Jesus Christ. So very thankful. Praise the Lord for that. What I'd like to do now, Terry, dude, I mean, talk about a sacrifice. Terry had to take off work. Terry basically served behind the scenes in ways, I mean, he always made sure the room was ready. Terry would put up with students. But ultimately, Terry, God's gifted this man. And I said earlier, the music was rocking. He made it just come alive, no doubt about it. But I'm just so thankful that you are willing to sacrifice your life out of your busy schedule to come and to really make a difference. And you did make a difference, man. You encouraged my heart all week. I want you to know that. So give Terry, Carrie, Jason, and Nikki a hand. And we have a little bit of time, so take your Bible. I want to just lay out to you what Blade gave us. This is really cool how he laid out this camp week. I was excited when he shared with me what the direction God was leaning to go. So go to 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. And if you got a handout, what you can do is take some notes. Watch how this thing lays out. I'm going to transition to this other mic here. I'm on. Can you guys hear me? All right. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7.
And let's start off with this, but before we do it, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, it was good to sing praises this morning. Lord, to sing that it's only Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And he's the only way. He's the door. And so we want him to be magnified during this service. We want to exalt him. Father, we want to put you on the throne. Lord, we want your spirit to be at work. And so I'm so thankful just to hear these testimonies of these students and what you did in their hearts. And God, we're just going to take a moment and recap what you spoke to us about at camp. I pray for every person in this room, God, that you just pierce our hearts. And God, that you would help us to be bold, Lord, as there's not much time left, as Zach was talking about. Lord, remind us that we're more than conquerors, as Becca was talking about. And I just pray, Lord, that you would be the teacher right now. Very thankful for Blade and that he gave us the word. But ultimately, Lord, we're leaning on you. And so do your perfect work. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this. This was our key verse for the week. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So what I'd like to do is just lay this verse out. Blade broke this verse down into seven messages. And I'm just going to recap each one to where we'll be in and out in no time. But I want you to see beautifully how this thing broke down. So Monday night, like Becca said, we came in and, man, it was alive right away. That was just so cool to see how God did that. And that's because Blade brought the word. And he talked about the very first part of 2 Timothy 1:7, for God. So the first section of any message was basically those two words. We're going to focus on the first part of this verse. It begins with God. We like to focus on not having the fear, right? The spirit of fear. No, we got to start with God. That's our problem. And so that's where he began. And he took us to Acts 4. We don't have time to turn there. But that was where you see boldness all throughout the book of Acts. And in that passage particularly, he says there's three musts if we want boldness. And we looked at three different times the word boldness is mentioned in that chapter. And the first one is this, you got to be close to Jesus. And we love that verse. That's the verse that says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they knew they'd been with Jesus, right? You got these unlearned men, uneducated guys, and yet it was obvious they spent time with Jesus. That's what made them bold. And it's just encouraging because many of us, we think we don't have what it takes. It don't matter. Spend time with Jesus and you're going to knock people's socks off. You're going to be bold. You're going to impress yourself. And it's not about impressing ourselves. It's just being what God called us to be. So that was the first point, be close to Jesus. The second time we saw boldness in that chapter was we got to have a proper perspective of God. God is our creator. And when they were boldly praying, they acknowledged that. God, you're our creator. You're the commander. You've commanded us to go and tell all peoples, even in the midst of persecution. And then you're the conqueror. We just have to have that perspective and remember that. And that's our problem is sometimes we lose perspective, right? So that was the second must if we want boldness. And the third one was at the end of that chapter, got to walk in the power of the Spirit. That's a result of being filled with God's Holy Spirit. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But what I thought was cool, and I'd never seen this before, you know, Blade's 28 years old, and this dude knows the Bible left and right. I'm just like, man, that's awesome, and he's living it. So he lays out the first, second, third instance of boldness. It's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. It actually began, the first one was the Son, the first time we saw boldness, Jesus Christ. And then you see they're praying to God the Father. That's the second time you see boldness. And then the third one was the Holy Spirit. I just thought, man, the Bible's cool. The Bible's rich. We take for granted what we have. But that was Monday night. Then Tuesday morning, he takes us to the second part of 2 Timothy 1:7, and that's hath not given, right? God hath not given. And so what Blade focused on, this was pretty clever what he did. He says, guys, let's talk about what God has not given us. God has not given us the ministry of education or the ministry of explanation or the ministry of information. We think that's what he's given us. No. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And that's what he preached. And he's basically just saying, it is our responsibility to reconcile people back to their creator. Back to God. And so, he's just getting straight to the point here. And basically, that's the message, like Logan talked about, where God also gave us what we need to accomplish that task. He's given us His Word. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us a church. So that was a great morning, hath not given. Tuesday evening, as we continue 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God hath not given. And then here's where we talked about us, just the word us. He focused just on the word us. And that was cool because what he was saying is, we know we have a mission, and it's the ministry of reconciliation, right? There's two disputing parties, and we got to reconcile people back to God. But we can't accomplish this mission alone. It takes us. Even that verse in 2 Corinthians 5:20, it doesn't say that I am an ambassador. It says we are ambassadors. So it was just neat that Blade was able to shift our focus and say, this takes all of us together. Got to get out of that independent mindset. And here in America, we love to, well, I'm going to do it on my own. I don't need the church. It takes each other. Iron sharpens iron. We're more effective together. So that was just great being reminded of that. And when we throw excuses out like, well, I'm not good enough. I don't have the gifts that he or she has. Blade says, that's just disjointing the body. Stop doing that. Man, that was rich. I got convicted there because there's many times where I'm like, man, I wish I had what he had or she had. And it's so easy to start just dwelling on that. And it's like, stop. Be who God made you to be. Get after the mission. So that was the Tuesday evening message where we just focused on the word us. So let's keep moving. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us, and then here's the thrust, the spirit of fear. And that's what we talked about Wednesday morning. On Wednesday morning, he talked about how too many of us are in prison, right? In prison, our own minds. And even Timothy. Timothy was a pastor, and that dude struggled with fear. So it's not that only weak people struggle with fear, but fear is, it's naturally, and Blade even pointed out, it's not necessarily a sin to have fear, but it's how you respond to that fear. And so what he said on Wednesday morning that I thought was really relevant was that this, he says, the answer isn't about being brave. We tend to think that that's the answer. That's what you need. You're struggling with fear, be brave. Okay, it makes sense. It's logical, but he says, it's really about being faith-filled. That's really what we need because then it takes care of everything else. And so what he did then, we had the students that morning write down a bunch of fears that they have. Like, what is the one fear that holds you back from being bold, from sharing your faith, whether it's at school or on the ball team or with a family member? What's the one thing that you'd say? And they had to write it down. They didn't put their names on it, but then we turned these papers into Blade. And so we had answers like this, not knowing how to answer a question. I think that's one that even us adults would be like, yep, I fear that one. Offending. Fear of offending. The fear of sounding awkward. Can you relate to that one? That's what they put. Sounding judgmental. We don't want to sound judgmental. I mean, people hate judgmental people, right? My insecurities. That was one that was thrown out. My anxiety. I think that's one that we can all relate to. Here's one. Not talkative. That was a fear that they wrote down. Getting made fun of. Rejection. These were all just common fears. And so what Blade did was he read these up front. And he was basically just saying, guys, at the end of the day, the only way that we're going to fail is if we don't give the gospel. It's not our job to convert them. That's God's job. And that's actually very liberating to take in and understand. That's what helps me overcome my fear barrier, is knowing that it's not my job to convert them. Yes, I want to do what I can. God, use me. But ultimately, that's the Holy Spirit's job. And sometimes we're afraid that we're going to fail. But if you did what God called you to do and gave the gospel, you didn't fail. We move on. And so, and he even used Jeremiah as a good example. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet in the Bible. Was that guy a failure because he didn't have a lot of fruit? Some would say he didn't have any fruit. Well, he did have fruit. You just didn't see it. It was years later. And so we get so fixated on the immediate results and wanting to see the change. Even it makes me think of Ezekiel. I think it's chapter 2 when God says, hey, Ezekiel, I want you to stand up. You're my boy. And you're going to speak my words, and you're going to say, thus saith the Lord. But let me tell you something, Ezekiel. Many of them are going to reject. Now, how would we do if we told our students that you're going to get rejected? They'd probably be like, well, what's the point then? Why am I even sharing my faith if they're just going to turn it down? And here's what God told Ezekiel. So that they would know there was a prophet amongst them. Is that not good enough? God is also a God of righteousness as well. We want to only focus on the love aspect of God, but he's also a God of light. He's a righteous God, and he will get his word out everywhere because he's just. So anyways, that was neat just to really focus on the solution to the spirit of fear. So I'll come back to these cards in a second, but because Blade did. But on Wednesday evening, Wednesday was the day everybody was pretty wiped out because, you know, in the morning, Lindsay's accident happened. And then in the afternoon, everybody went on a float trip and did some tubing, and it was just fun. I think it was good bonding time. Well, when we came back, we knew we were going to have a bonfire that night and have some kumbaya moments. And I tell you what, anytime we've tried to force that in the past, it just hadn't worked out real well to try to do a fire and then everybody singing. But it worked. This time it actually worked. And man, I felt like our students were actually singing, and it made me think of when the evil spirit would come into King Saul, and then David would play his instrument, and it would just soothe the evil spirit or David or Saul, and everything was so much better. That's kind of what it reminded me of. There was a troubled man from the other church that came, and throughout the week he was, you could just see he was struggling, and his fists were clenched at the beginning of the week. Guys, we saw God do a miracle in his heart throughout the week. By day two or day three, this guy was, the word of God was getting inside of him, making a difference, and he was softening up. He was singing praises during that bonfire that night. He ended up accepting Christ the last night. It was beautiful. So the bonfire experience was neat. That's where Josie and Zach shared their testimonies. But before that, Blade shared his testimony with the students. It was just neat to see several of our students weren't saved at that point in time. So God even used his story just for them to see that, man, he got saved at a young age, and he was a Catholic, and he didn't understand the gospel. And when he got saved, man, God changed his heart. His values began to change. It was just so cool. Is this thing messing up on us? This microphone? I need to take the other mic. I can. Anyways, that was cool. That was all Wednesday evening, and then we get to Thursday morning, and the verse continues. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. And that's what we focused on Thursday morning. And this is where he focused on the power. Our power source is the Holy Spirit of God. And if you've been around for a long time, I don't think our youth had a clue who these guys were, but Blade has a picture of the old power team from back in the 80s. It was Christian power men, strong men. These guys are just buff, and it's pictures of men who can take a phone book, and they're just like, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, and they rip apart a phone book and stuff. Anybody seen those guys? Yeah, those guys were awesome. My dad's like, check these guys out, Bo. Well, Blade, he's young. I don't know how he even came across these guys, but he used that as an example just to say that, guys, we have a power source, but what are you doing with it? Our power source is the Holy Spirit of God. And so we talked about that. What are you going to do with that power? And I love how Blade emphasized, it's like what we have this in our lessons on discipleship, on lesson 4. The ultimate issue when it comes to the Spirit of God in a believer is this. You have all of him. You have all of the Holy Spirit. Does he have all of you, though? Does he have all of you? This wasn't given at camp, but I just love this illustration because I think it speaks volumes. So this sponge, it's like you and me, right? We absorb so much of what's going around us, and it would be you, me. The water is like representative of the Word of God. In the Bible, you clearly see water as a picture of the Word. It's a cleansing agent, right? It quenches our thirst. And so what happens when we get filled with God's Spirit, it's nothing mystical. Sometimes we tend to think that, oh, yeah, it means you're going to speak in tongues and this. No. That stuff was all during a transitional time in history, dealing with a Jewish nation. To be filled with God's Spirit, in Colossians 3:16, talks about how When you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, you're getting filled with God's Spirit. It's not just reading the Bible. Because when you're reading the Bible, if that's just going in one ear and out the other, what's the point? But when you allow it to saturate inside of your heart and it's richly dwelling in you, now we're talking. It's not just you and the Bible, but the Bible's in you. And so think of like this sponge, and it gets inside of the word. And then, obviously, what comes out of the sponge? You've got nothing but water. And so as the water comes out, when trials of life hit you, I mean, you're just saturated in the Word of God. Eventually, that sponge is going to dry out. So what do? You get saturated back in the Word of God. And you need to get filled with the Spirit again. I think it was D.L. Moody that said, somebody said, you mean to tell me I got to get filled again and again? He goes, yes, your problem is you leak. I'm like, that's a good way to put it. So that's what being filled with God's Spirit is. And as Christians, we got all the Holy Spirit, but we got to let Him have us. We got to get filled with the Spirit. What's the byproduct of that? Boldness. You say you struggle being bold? Well, get filled with God's Spirit inside of you. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell in you. So that was Thursday morning on how our power source is the Holy Spirit. Now, we're wrapping this thing up, winding it down. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And so Thursday evening, Blade focused on love. And this was pretty cool. I thought of it like this, but he said that our problem isn't our fears. We think that's our problem, but he says, our problem is this. It's the fact that we don't love. We don't love people like we should. And listen to 1 John 4:17 and 18. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. 1 John 4:17 and 18 says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness, there's the word boldness, in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. And so what he did, Blade took these cards, everybody's excuses, everybody's fears, and he threw them all over the ground. And it was just neat because what he did as he was preaching this message, he's basically saying, guys, these fears, I'm walking all over them because they mean nothing. They're not even the issue. The issue is we have a love problem. We're loving the wrong things. And if we truly love, we're going to be like Jesus. Jesus was willing to get dirty so that everybody else could be clean. Remember when he washed his disciples? What he did on that cross. Became sin so that we could be clean. We're wrapping up, but let me get this microphone here.
So that was just so cool to see Blade walking all over those. And I think it was neat for the students to see that my excuses mean nothing. All these excuses that we throw out there, I have a love problem. And ultimately, I think when we can say what Paul said, the love of Christ is what constrains me, that's how we learn to get our love problem right. Let the love of Christ love through us. I have a hard time loving certain people and certain things I'm supposed to love, and yet I got to just die to self and let Jesus love through me. That's really the key behind it all. So that was really good on Thursday to focus on love. And then my favorite message of all would have been Friday morning's message. It was the pack up and go home message. Everybody's in a hurry. And I said, Blade, I know that we're scrambling to get out of here, but you preach as long as God lays on your heart to preach. And the reason why this was so powerful is because it really, this last message goes with what Mike's been talking about on Sunday mornings to our church. And this would have been the last part of 2 Timothy 1:7, a sound mind. Because guys, our biggest issue when it comes to boldness, when it comes to getting our heads together, it's when something's not in our control. When something's out of control, we struggle. And we immediately cower, we want to back out. And so this is where a sound mind comes in. And that comes from God. He doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And Blade talked about that last morning on how this is how we slay our lions. This is how we slay lions. In fact, we can be bolder than lions. Sounds like what we've been hearing as a church, right? So Blade talked about Benaiah, and how Benaiah was the man who not only did he fight a lion, but he fought a lion in a pit. Not only did he fight a lion in a pit, but it was in a time of snow or on a snowy day. And Proverbs 28:1 is the verse that was really, this was repeated all week too. It would have been probably the second key verse, but it says this: the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. That was just so encouraging, because Benaiah, that dude could have made excuses, but he didn't. He was in the wrong place, in a pit, the wrong time, in a time of snow. And what a good reminder to fight the spiritual battles, even when circumstances are against us. And so I think that was really good for our students, especially as we're getting ready to enter the school season. There's going to be times where it just does not seem like the right time to speak up. And that's when you got to think of Benaiah and say, you know what, he took that lion and nothing seemed right, and he did the right thing, and now people were telling stories about him. So what a great way to end it. He was basically saying, we're never going to be bold if we make those excuses. So what I'd like to do is close this with a certain verse that I encouraged our youth with right before camp. As we were entering camp last Sunday, I wanted to take them to a certain passage, because Blade's last message ties right into what I was encouraging them with. And go to 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel 22. This is how we started camp, and this is how we're going to end camp. This is King David shortly after he defeated Goliath. He's not the king on the throne yet. He's a man on the run. He's scared, helpless, doesn't know what to do. And it says here in chapter 22, verse 1, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. And so what I think is so significant about this little story here is that David is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about it in Scripture. He's a beautiful picture of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And notice who came to David. It wasn't all the popular, the rich, the wealthy, the sexy people. I mean, everybody needs Christ. But notice who came to him, though. It says it was those who were distressed, those who were oppressed, right? That's the ones who were under King Saul's regime, and they were so tired of the pressures of this world. And yet, they're the ones who said, I'm ready for a change. We see it's those who were in debt, those who couldn't pay their bills. They were in bondage. There's a lot of people in bondage out there. Many of us even feel like we're in bondage. And then I really like this third one, those who were discontented, those who just weren't satisfied with what this world had to offer. They were ready for righteousness. In a nutshell, these guys right here, they probably felt like they didn't have a whole lot to offer. And God says, and that's the kind of people that I use. Those who would just say, Lord, I ain't got much, but I'm available. I'm just available. And so we encouraged our youth this week, would you just be available for God to speak to you? Be available, because here's what's awesome. This group of 400 frustrated nobodies, that's really how people, who are they? They wind up becoming the greatest group of people in the Scriptures. You know who that group of people was? David's mighty men of valor. How awesome is that? That's what we've been learning and hearing about. And yet, I think what made them so special is they were available, just like how Jesus had a group of people, a group of nobodies, if you will, who he invested in, and they turned the world upside down. And he got to invest in them, and these people were bold for what truly mattered. And so this last week at camp, we got to taste and see that the Lord was good. That was our prayer. And like I said earlier, I don't think we could repeat any of it, because God's hand, it's hard to explain, but God's hand was on the place. We could have some of the best and most talented speakers and musicians in there, and it wouldn't beat what happened at camp. That's what I'm talking about. God moved that mightily. So very thankful. So What we're going to do now, let's close this thing out, because we've got baptisms that need to take place. Let's just bow our heads. Let's thank the Lord for what he did thus far at camp. And maybe if I could just get a man to out loud thank him for what he did at camp this week, but then also to lift up these students, especially as they move forward from here. So if we can get a man, pray out loud and thank the Lord, and then pray for the near future with these students.